Okay, welcome everyone. We've got the wheels rolling for recording, and it's 12 high noon here in California, so we're going to get started on this Nail Down Your Niche call. Thank you all for joining me today. My name is Kelly DeReuter. I'm a marketing coach for coaches and similar experts, and my mission is to make marketing easy for coaches. And I'm so excited and pleased to be able to share this valuable information with you today to help you nail down your niche. I'm also grateful for the response this free teleclass has gotten. We're in the triple digits in signups. Yay! And it just really shows me how many coaches and experts there are who really want to handle this whole niche thing. So welcome, everybody. Welcome. Here's how the call is going to flow. First, I'll share with you my own challenges in finding my niche, so you can get to know me a bit and see that you're not alone. Then, I'll clarify the difference between a market and a niche, and why they're both important. Be sure and have a pen and paper ready, because you're going to want to take lots of notes today. The number one key mindset shift that you need to make in order to choose an effective market and niche. Now, this is something you may have heard, but it's also something most people don't always get on the deeper level they need to in order to be able to discover their niche. So I'm going to take you to that deeper level. I'm going to take you from, I've heard that, but I'm still not sure I quite get it, to, aha, now I get it. So I'm going to spend a bit of time on that because it's super important to your success that you make that shift and have a deep understanding of how a niche really works. Next, I'm going to teach the process on how to find a good target market and niche. I'll be giving you specific criteria to look for so you can find your own lucrative, soul-satisfying niche. We'll cover the biggest mistake coaches make when choosing a niche, the five magic keys to choosing a market that eagerly pays you well, and the number one surefire way to guarantee that your marketing activities are richly rewarded without leaving you exhausted and broke. Some of you will be thrilled with all this information. You'll run with it, and that's all you'll need. Some of you will be thrilled and want more. So I'm also going to take a few minutes to tell you how you can do that and make you a terrific special offer that you'll receive because you're listening, either live or by recording, to this seminar. And I'll give you a hint. The offer is not a group teleseminar series. It's better, and it's going to be exactly what you want. So I promise I'll be sharing that with you too. Then as a special bonus, I'm going to teach you how to choose an effective branded business name and a good domain name once you've chosen your niche. Now, if you've already chosen a business name before choosing your niche, this isn't the same thing. The name that you've chosen would be your umbrella name, but you'll also need a name that brands you with your new niche. And you'll want to hear about domain names because that's an important choice to make also. Finally, I'll reveal the four areas people are stuck in when they can't find a niche and exactly what to do if you've done it all and you still can't figure out your niche. Now remember, I've been there, and after going through it and coming out the other side, I can see clearly exactly what you need to know. Believe me, I wish I could go back in time and tell the me back then what I know now. It would have saved me a lot of angst. So today, I hope to save some of you some of that same angst. Why am I about to give away so much value and valuable information for free? Because once you've got your niche, that's when you can get down to the really good stuff. Once you know your niche, you can really rock and roll, creating the foundation for a six-figure business and getting launched so you can start helping people and making money right away. And that's the biggest thing that I do for coaches. I help them do that. So I can't even get to the best stuff I do until you've nailed down your niche. So you see, it's in my best interest to help you do that. Okay, here's my own story and how I was finally able to nail down my own niche. I was a professional life coach for 10 years. I had no niche. I was pretty happy though because I only wanted to work part-time and I spent the rest of the time with my young kids. I always had clients and I worked as much as I wanted to. But towards the end of that, I decided I wanted to work more and I tried to launch a niche and failed utterly because there's a lot more to choosing a niche than I realized. Again, if I had known then what I know now, I would have known from the start it wasn't going to work. So I found myself back at square one and the whole niche thing still plagued me. I didn't know what to choose. I joined a platinum coaching program and I still couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. It was embarrassing, it was frustrating, and the anxiety kept me awake at night. So with the guidance of my coach, I simply picked something and did it for 2 years. It turned out to be a business niche, which I was happy about because I have an entrepreneurial background and I'd done business coaching in a different venue before I became a life coach. I learned a lot. Not only did I get the experience, but during that time I took a major marketing coach training program and I did a lot of other programs, platinum and otherwise, from some very successful coaches. I added to my existing expertise tenfold. And I knew the niche I was in wasn't the one I was supposed to be in ultimately. I closed down that niche and spent another year finishing up with those clients and getting miscellaneous clients here and there and learning more from experts until finally, one day, the smoke cleared and I saw what had been in front of me, a perfect market and niche. And then I was embarrassed that I hadn't seen it. Because how could I not have? But that's part of what I have to share with you here today. Because it isn't only me that's gone through this. Of course, I think it took me longer than anyone else I know, but many of the clients I've helped have had their niches right in front of them too, without realizing it. But if you don't know what to look for, you won't see it. You won't know it's the perfect niche for you. You won't have the confidence to choose it and move forward on it. You must understand what's important to look for. So what's my perfect niche? Coaches and experts that are similar. Why? Well, in addition to being a life coach myself for 10 years, at the same time, I worked for a major coaching school. I spent 4 years being a mentor coach for their students, and then I spent 6 years doing oral exams for certification for their students. If you include the business coaching I did before I was certified, I've done that for a total of 10 years. And that's what coaches need most. What could I possibly have been more qualified for? But I wasn't ready to jump straight into that niche when I first began looking. And I'll be sharing a bit more about that later on in the call. So we're here today to help you clear the smoke on your own perfect niche. After my own experience, believe me, I'm an expert at it. Plus, I've worked with tons of coaches and those with similar businesses to help them find their niches. Before we jump into the really juicy stuff, I know I need to clarify exactly what a market and a niche is, because there's a lot of confusion out there around both of those. The reason is that most people in the industry, myself included, I admit it, for the sake of being succinct and not awkward in their marketing language, often use the word niche loosely to mean both a market and a niche. The actual correct term for your market is, in marketing language, target market. That sounds kind of cold to heart-based people like us, doesn't it? So I try to soften it a bit and I just call it your market. So your market is the group of people you serve. It's not what you do for them. It's simply who you serve. Your niche is what you do for that market. For instance, if your market was chiropractors, you could have different niches. You might help them market their practice. That's one niche. Or you might help them learn to run their office smoothly and effectively. That's another niche. Or you might help them learn to be better at the actual healing part of chiropractic in some way, which is yet another niche. So your market and your niche are two distinctly different terms that mean different things. It's important that you understand that because I'm going to be talking about them both today and I don't want you to be confused. All right, we're going to dive right into the crucial mindset shift you must make in order to find your perfect niche. Here's the dilemma. Many coaches don't want to narrow down their market or niche. And here's why. They want to help more than just a narrow section of people. They want to do more than just one specific thing for them. They like variety, and they want to use all of their talents and abilities. They're afraid they might miss out on clients because they only work with a narrow group of people and they think they might have to turn everyone away. You guys want clients, and you don't want to turn anyone down. I get it. I was there. I had all of these concerns, all right? And it's very, very difficult to be successful as a coach or healer if you don't narrow down your market and niche to be very specific. Here's why. What motivates people to get to know you and then engage your services is they feel as though you specialize in them. You get them. Here's an example. I'm going to use myself. I'm a mother of 10-year-old twin boys. If I see someone who works with moms, I pretty much ignore them. I'm a busy person. If I see someone who works with moms of twins, I might casually glance at their stuff. But honestly, I probably wouldn't even sign up for their free taste. If I did, I probably wouldn't get around to reading it, watching or listening to it if it was a video. Lots of people have twins, and the dynamics are very different depending on the type of twins you have, their ages, all kinds of things. Now, if I see someone who works with mothers of fraternal boy twins between the ages of 10 and 18, wow, I sign up for their stuff and read it immediately. If I like it, I'll probably take the next step. One of my clients graciously gave me a real-life example the other day of a coach who works with mothers of pre-adolescent boys to help them understand their boys, work with them, and prepare them for becoming teens. Wow, that's another one I'm on board with. So, you see, the wider your market, the less interested people are in you, because what you offer is too general or generic for them to be motivated to get to know you. They just don't think you're going to have that much to offer them in particular. And the wider your market is, the more competition you have. So even if someone is interested in what you do, they have so many providers to choose from, chances that they'll choose you, no matter how good you are somewhat slim. So to create a simple example, let's say there are 20 coaches who do what you do. Well, you have a 1 in 20 chance, if you do what everyone else does, of being chosen. But if you subspecialize, you're going to get everyone in that subspecialty, which is going to translate into a lot of clients, a lot more clients than all those other coaches who don't specialize as much are getting. Some of you are concerned that you'll have to turn people down. When you only have a few clients, that's really alarming. I get it. So listen carefully. You don't have to turn anyone down. That's actually a mistaken belief. You can take any and all clients you want, whatever your niche is, and you can continue to work with the types of clients you already have. Choosing a market and niche isn't about excluding anyone. It's about adding to your business. It's about adding a lot more clients effortlessly with ease and grace. It's about being able to charge what you're worth, because the more you specialize, the more people are willing to pay you for your expert status. Let's say you had a serious problem with your ears or with your hearing. Who would you feel would be more capable of helping you? An ear, nose, and throat specialist or a general practitioner? Would you be willing to pay the general practitioner as much for his or her expertise as you would the specialist? Probably not. Wanting more variety and to help people in different areas instead is just one concern for many coaches. Trust me, once your clients get to know you, you'll have plenty of opportunity to coach them on a variety of issues. Here's another example to show you that. Let's look at gynecologists. They charge way more than a general practitioner for their specialty and expertise. And yet, many women go to their GYN for other physical issues instead of a general practitioner. Why? Because the GYN knows them already, and vice versa. They have an established relationship, and that's the key. That's how it works with coaching. Your clients come to you for something specific, but once they get to know you, they'll use your coaching for other issues if you want to offer that. Whatever else you offer, your clients will want that from you, not someone else. It's all about the relationship. Your clients will be eager to experience the full depth and scope of your wisdom. So a niche is really just a gateway solution to a gateway problem, so people can get to know you and you can establish that important relationship. This is what will give you the variety in your work you're looking for and the vehicle to use all of your talents and abilities. In addition, be aware that your business requires different strategies at different stages. The most effective strategy when you're starting out, usually until you get to multiple six figures, is to focus on a narrow and specific market and niche. And yes, you can get to that stage more easily than you think with a niche. Once your biz gets to a certain level of success, you may be able to expand it to a wider market or niche, and therefore expanding the type of client you serve. So think of having a narrow specific market and niche as the appropriate strategy for the level your business is at. There's more. With a more specific market, you're much more likely to get referrals because people in your market share the same challenges and they know each other. So they naturally share with each other, and the likelihood of getting referrals is much, much higher. When you go wide or general, your clients don't have enough in common with each other, and referrals are harder to come by. You'll be able to leverage your time and work with groups much more easily with a specialty because everyone in the group has the same challenges. And when you work with groups, you help more people. You'll be perceived as you'll specialize in helping people with the exact challenges they have. Everything you do, your free taste to create a list, your articles, seminars, and speeches will all be seen as hot and grow your email list quickly because they will be so relevant to everyone you market to. To summarize, getting specific with your market allows you to actually get more clients because they feel like you are a fit for them, clients who are willing to pay you more for that fit and who are much more likely to refer business to you. You'll be perceived as more of an expert. You'll be able to work with groups easily. And everything you write, speak, or do will be hot stuff and very relevant to those who are eagerly absorbing it. And your email list will build much more quickly. And you can still take every client you want to take. Your market isn't about excluding people. It's about where you're going to spend your marketing time and money. Now, obviously, there's a point when it can become too narrow. If there are only 100 people in your target market, then you really will be limited. So where is the line? The line is at about 10,000 people. There needs to be at least 10,000 potential clients in your market or more. Now, that's a juicy bit of information, so be sure and make a note of that. Now, I know the question I had after hearing this. If narrowing down your market makes you so successful and widening it doesn't, why are there so many seven-figure coaches with a wider or more general market? Great question. It comes back to needing different strategies at different milestones in your business. Once you've built up a good business and you're known, your strategy sometimes needs to change in order to grow even bigger. Let's say you reach $500K a year coaching a specific market. You may have maxed out on that niche, and in order to continue to grow, you need to widen your market. You can do that successfully because you're well known enough to make that leap. So something that would have not been successful as an entry-level strategy becomes a necessary strategy at some point down the line. And some mega successful people have a broader market from the beginning. Sometimes they wrote a successful book or were a brilliant speaker. But for everyone who made it that way, there are thousands who didn't. It's the hard way. I'm recommending the easy way. Are there any circumstances in which a more general market is okay? Actually, there is. When you have an extremely specific niche or offer for people, you can sometimes broaden your market successfully. In fact, sometimes you need to. For example, if you teach entrepreneurs how to sell themselves through something very specific, through video or through writing great copy, or just through something incredibly specific, then you want to widen your market. If your niche is more broad as an entrepreneur, then your niche and your offer needs to be very specific. For example, I'm going to use myself again here. If I was having a big challenge with my kids being obstinate, disrespectful, and not doing what they're asked to do, it would definitely capture my attention if someone specialized in helping moms with children who were contrary, disrespectful, and didn't do as they were asked. Because the problem, or the niche itself, what the person does for moms is so very specific. But you need to be careful here. Unless you have a particular talent, in general, most coaches starting out find it easier to be successful with a specific market and help them with their challenges. Now, I bet some of you are going to run and take what I've just taught and go for it. Suddenly, the smoke is cleared, and the niche that was right in front of you is obvious. If that's you, yay, good for you, go for it. If you need some more fans to blow that smoke away, they're coming right up. Where do you start? Now we're going to go to the process. How do you begin to look for a niche? When I work with clients one-on-one, before we even meet and do the fun stuff, I have them look first into their own lives. And you can do that too. What have you gone through that you've learned and grown from? What have you come out on the other side of, even if only recently? You only need to be one step ahead of your clients. I'm going to give you a few examples that I pulled just from some of my current clients. People who have experienced a devastating loss. Someone who always chose the wrong men until they learned how to turn that around. A person who was adopted and experienced challenges around that and wants to help other adoptees with the same challenges. An immigrant who experienced difficulties when moving her family to the U.S. from a foreign country for a job opportunity and now helps others in similar situations. You see, it gives you a tremendous amount of credibility when you've walked a mile in your client's shoes. It isn't necessary, but if you can choose a market whose shoes you've been in, it makes it easier because you'll have instant credibility. Credentials are very nice, but the most important thing about them is that you've had the training to be good at what you do. Clients aren't nearly as impressed by credentials as they are by feeling as though you understand them, as though you get what really matters to them. Also, there's a lot to be said for doing what you know. When you're just getting started, you want to take your best shot at success. And if doing what you know gives you that extra edge, I say go for it. What if you comb your past and there's no obvious niche that comes up? Then you begin looking for the not so obvious. What interests have you never pursued? Who would you like to work with? Who do you know that has a connection to a niche you might like to try? And so on. You just keep going, keep looking. The important thing is to have a great attitude. Look at it as an adventure or an opportunity. I have a ton of fun, actually, helping my clients do this. I mean, think of all the potential markets and niches as being like Christmas morning, with all those packages under the tree, and you don't know what's in them yet, all right? Or think of it like choosing a vacation. before you choose, all of these wonderful places are possible destinations. It's almost more fun before you choose, when all of those places are still possible. If you stay light and keep a great attitude and perspective, the right opportunities will present themselves to you. Now, if it still seems challenging to you and you'd like to partner with me one-on-one for some extra help, I have created an easy opportunity for you to do that, and I'll let you know more about that a little later. Once you've identified some potential niches, it's time to evaluate them to see if they will be the soul-satisfying, lucrative niche that you're looking for. So we'll be looking at the 5 magic keys to ensuring your niche market eagerly pays you well in just a moment. But first, this is the perfect time to talk about the biggest mistake coaches make when it comes to choosing a niche. I'm going to tell you right up front that this can be a sensitive subject for some, because it challenges a cherished belief. The belief that if you're passionate about a market and a niche, truly passionate, that you will be successful. Because anything you're passionate about must be the right niche for you. Please understand that I am not saying that being passionate about who you choose to serve isn't important. Not at all. It's definitely an important component of choosing a niche. However, it's not the be-all and end-all. Passion alone won't do it. There are some markets and niches that simply don't meet the criteria to be viable. And no matter how passionate you are about it, that's not going to make it viable. Hiring a marketing coach is not going to make it viable. Passion alone doesn't ensure your success. And the biggest mistake I've seen coaches make is just that, thinking that choosing their market and niche based on passion alone will make them successful. I don't blame them. It makes sense, doesn't it, that coaches would often feel that way? After all, what are we all about? We're about encouraging people to follow their hearts and their passion. But in order to have the success that you deserve and desire, you must pay attention to the practical side of choosing a niche. There are things to look for to ensure that your market will pay you so you can make a living, so you can keep coaching. You can still have the soul-satisfying part. You can have it all. Just helping people grow, no matter who they are and what you do for them, is soul-satisfying in itself. And you can find something you feel passionate about that's soul-satisfying and lucrative. Because, guys, there are so many people out there who could benefit from coaching. Everyone, really. And you can have both. So don't make the number one mistake coaches make when choosing a niche. Be sure and put your passion to the test. See if it meets the other criteria that I'm sharing with you here today. All right. Let's talk about the 5 magic keys to ensuring your niche market eagerly pays you well. I know most coaches and similar experts care more about helping people than about making lots of money. I know that. But for those of you in that camp, I'd like you to consider a different perspective for a moment. Consider a different way of looking at it. Rather than viewing money as the goal, view money as an indicator of how many people you're helping. It's simple. The more people you help, the more money you make. And if you aren't making enough money to pay your bills, you'll need to find another way to make money, which takes time away from helping people. And if you're not making enough to pay your bills, you're not really helping that many people either. So actually, the way to help the most people is to have it be important to make money. That's your fastest path to helping the highest number of people. This simple mindset shift will help you achieve what you really want without getting tripped up by confusion over values. So let's take a look at the first key to ensuring you choose a market that pays you well. Whether you find a market that's experiencing a challenge you've been through or not, the first key to ensuring they eagerly pay you well is to look for markets that you are or have been connected to in some way that have a compelling problem or set of problems they need to solve. Now, that's so important, I'm going to repeat it. Your market needs to have a compelling problem or set of problems they need to solve. Problems they're willing to pay money for. For instance, let's take the example of the immigrant who had challenges in moving to the U.S. There's a huge market of people from foreign countries who obtain positions in the U.S. and move their entire families here. And at first, they're excited, but most of them, once they've been here a short while, begin to experience the symptoms of culture shock. It's a very different thing to try and live in a foreign country than it is to simply visit one. In particular, the wives who have husbands who came here for a job have the toughest time. These women have very compelling problems they need to solve. They feel isolated, lonely, embarrassed at not knowing our customs, and they don't know where to go for help. Just imagine what a godsend a cultural adjustment coach is to them. Someone who understands them because she's been there, who speaks their language and knows the ropes and can show them, and can coach more deeply on the painful issues of feeling different. Now, this is a market that has compelling problems they need to solve. That's the key to having a market pay you well. Take a look. Are these problems compelling? Do they keep this market awake at night? Honestly, guys, people don't wake up in the morning, stretch, and say, "Oh, I think I need a coach." Or even, "I think I need a healer." What they say is, "I have to solve this problem. I have this horrible problem, and I have to solve it." So make sure your market's problems are compelling. Key number two, your market must clearly recognize their problem or problems and have a strong desire to solve them. For this key, I don't want to give any examples because I don't want to point the finger at anybody. But just know that there really are markets out there with problems that, as a group, they tend not to recognize them. You see them clearly, maybe, but they don't. And of course, if you don't recognize a problem, you aren't going to have a strong desire to solve it. I've had clients come to me who felt very strongly about helping a market solve a particular problem because they could see that it's such a huge problem, and they felt as though it was imperative for that market to have that problem solved. But I have to tell them, it's challenging enough to reach out to your ideal client and create a thriving business when they recognize their problem. If you have to sell them first on the fact that they even have a problem before you can even offer to help them with it, wow, it's an exhausting, uphill, and just plain discouraging process. Key number three, your market must be able to pay to solve those problems. There are lots of markets out there who really do need help. College students who are graduating, single women having financial difficulties. These people have compelling problems, and they need coaching, no doubt about it. But they usually can't afford to pay for it. And you need, and you deserve, to be able to make a living. So no matter how much you empathize with the market, if they can't pay you, it's not a good market. If you want to be generous and do pro bono work, then you have to find a market where most people can afford to pay you what you deserve. Then, and only then, can you afford to do a bit of selective pro bono work. So carefully evaluate your market to make sure they have the ability to pay for what they need. Key number four. Your market must have a mindset that welcomes help in solving their problems. Some people have beliefs that it's important to be self-sufficient. They have kind of a do-it-yourself type of mentality. There are whole markets like that, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it obviously doesn't make a good market for a coach or a healer or any similar type of expert. And it's easy to overlook. So make sure you have that in your criteria. Look to see. Do these people actively seek help for anything else? Is that something that they do? Key number 5. Ideally, your market has a history of investing in things of a similar nature to what you offer. Here's an example. I did a VIP day very recently, in fact, for a trader in the financial markets. He coaches traders, helping them come up with their own unique trading system that works for them. Now, his market has a history of investing in similar services, usually paying for systems that have been created by and worked for other traders. Their compelling problem is those other systems they've paid for aren't their systems. So even though those systems work for the people who created them, they often don't work for others. So my client knows he has a viable market because his ideal client has already been willing to invest in something similar. And of course, his is going to be the best because he helps them create their own unique system. So those are the 5 magic keys to ensuring your niche market eagerly pays you well. Just to briefly review, key number 1, make sure they have a compelling problem or set of problems they need to solve. Key number 2, they must clearly recognize their problem or problems and have a strong desire to solve them. Key number 3, they must be able to pay to solve those problems. Key number 4, they must have a mindset that welcomes help in solving their problems. And key number 5, ideally they have a history of investing in things of a similar nature to what you offer. You can really see the markets and niches you've been considering in a whole new light now, can't you? When you use this criteria, it's great stuff. But if you're still struggling, if you're still uncertain, if your niche meets these criteria, I designed my special offer today with you in mind, so no worries. I'll be sharing about that soon. Let's look at the number 1 surefire way to guarantee that your marketing activities are richly rewarded without leaving you exhausted and broke. Now, here we go again, where my experience comes into play. I have to tell you, failing or not doing very well in a couple of niches really helps you learn a lot. My first niche that I tried, when I knew nothing about niches and didn't get help, was working with midlife moms to help them with their unique challenges. I thought, great, there are zillions of moms groups. I'll just market to all of them and I'll reach the ones who are midlife moms. Well, I'd say that less than 10% of women in those groups were midlife moms. I couldn't do speaking because not a big enough percentage of the groups were interested. In reality, I would have had to market so much for so little, it would have left me exhausted and broke. Fortunately, I finally got help and my coach pointed out how unworkable my market actually was. So your market must be reachable and easy to find. They need to congregate in groups so that you can and interact with them. Do they read or watch the same media so you can write articles for them to read or shoot videos for them to watch? Are there online forums or chat rooms they hang out in? Are there Yahoo groups, meetup groups? As a marketing coach, occasionally a client will come to me with a market that he or she wants to work with, and the market doesn't hang out anywhere. But the expectation is that I, as a marketing coach, will be able to help them solve that problem and find a way to market to that group. It doesn't work that way, folks. The way it works is you have to choose a market in the first place that you know you can reach. If your market doesn't gather as a group anywhere, you'll only reach a small percentage of them with your efforts, and you'll spend a lot of time and money with very little results to show for it. If you want your marketing activities to be fruitful, which of course I know you do, then make sure when choosing that you know ahead of time how you'll be reaching your market. That's the surefire way to guarantee that your marketing activities are richly rewarded without leaving you exhausted and broke. I believe an essential part of choosing your market and niche is to create something called a branding promise. Your market and niche isn't completely nailed down until you've done that. Then you'll need to choose a branded business name or title and a domain name. That's what comes up next. So coming up, I'm going to talk about those things, as well as what if you've done absolutely everything and you are still struggling with finding your niche. I'm also going to tell you about a special offer I'm making just for you to help you nail down your niche. So what's a branding promise? A branding promise is a crafted statement in marketing language that says exactly who your market is and what you do for them. This isn't a statement that you just write off the cuff. It's one that you spend time on, wordsmithing it and getting it just right. It needs to serve the following four purposes. One, it will help your ideal client instantly identify themselves as such. When they read it or when they hear it, their reaction will be, "Oh my gosh, I need your help." Two, it will help others identify people they know who are your ideal client. Their reaction should be, "Oh my gosh, I know someone who needs your help." Three, it needs to be smooth, catchy, appealing, very clear, and easy to read. My thing is clear. Some marketing coaches get so cutesy and so out there, it's not even clear what people do. I am into clarity, I'll tell you this right now. Four, it needs to be a statement that you can memorize easily and then say naturally off the cuff when people ask you what you do or when you're at a networking meeting and you introduce yourself. In other words, it doubles as an elevator speech. Here are three examples of some of the branding promises that I've helped my clients craft recently. Before I read them, I want to make sure you listen closely and pay attention to how specific they are, how they exactly nail down the ideal client, and what the coach or expert does for that ideal client. Here we go. I help women entrepreneurs with ADHD or similar challenges tame the chaos and focus their unique brilliance to grow a successful business. I help men and women in primary relationships improve communication skills, recovering the joy, love, and satisfaction they once felt. I help single women stop attracting the bad boys and start attracting the great guys so they find their perfect match. You can see how there's no doubt at all as to who these coaches serve and what they do for them. And I guarantee you, these statements absolutely have people saying, "I need your help," and "I know someone who needs your help." It's incredibly important to have a great branding promise because it's the flagship of your branding. It's the number one hook that captures the attention of your ideal client. If your branding promise doesn't cut it, then people will move on without checking you out any further. In fact, when I work with clients privately one-on-one to help them discover their market and their niche, we spend half the time on their branding promise. No kidding. One of my most popular programs is my Nail Down Your Niche Private Intensive, which is a 90-minute one-on-one intensive where I help my clients choose the perfect market and niche for them. But that only takes some looking over it on my part beforehand, and about half of our intensive time. The other half, we spend on crafting their branding promise. Sometimes I'll role play with them so they can practice. I'll say, "So, what do you do?" And I offer feedback until it comes out sounding natural and not canned. So here's the part where I get to keep my promise and make the special offer. I promise I'm not going to go on and on, even though I'm excited, because this is a great offer, one that you'll rarely find anywhere else. Then we'll get to the rest of the juicy stuff I promised, including what to do if you've tried absolutely everything and still can't find your niche. Now, there's a lot of great information in this teleclass, no question about it. But there's a lot I know about niches and markets that won't fit in just one teleclass. To give you just one example, I know from personal experience and being in the industry a lot about a lot of niches, which niches are hot and which ones aren't. So if you're headed toward a dead niche or you're already in one, I can steer you in a more productive direction. If the niche you have isn't producing results, I can tell by working with you if it's the niche that's the problem, or if it's something else. And I can even tell you what that something else is and how to transform it. So if you're tired of messing around and you just want it done, if you want to eliminate as much risk as possible by tapping into the know-how of a professional, if you want help in crafting a killer branding promise, polishing and then practicing it, then this is for you. This is a private, one-on-one session with me. It's rare these days to find a marketing coach willing to do that, and when you hear the investment, you'll be really surprised. The investment for my Nail Down Your Niche private intensive is only $297. Just to be ultra clear, this is a private intensive, not a group program, which means you get my undivided, professional, experienced attention for 90 minutes. There are a lot of marketing coaches that will offer you a group program, but it's not the same. Sometimes you just need that one-on-one help. Oh, and one last thing. You'll also be receiving some helpful templates and handouts, a niche breakthrough screening tool, and a niche prospecting worksheet to help you come prepared to the intensive so you can use your time with me to best advantage. One more time before we go, it's kellydereuter.com/naildownyournicheintensive/. All right. Let's move on to tips on how to choose an effective business name and domain name that matches your new niche. Because the minute you choose your market and niche, you're going to want to do this. And I'll tell you why. There are lots of entrepreneurs out there every day grabbing domain names, and you want to get yours right away. I really have actually had a client that we came up with a fabulous domain name for her. And she waited a couple of weeks to get it, and someone grabbed it not 5 hours sooner than she went online to do it. That same morning, someone else took it. So that's why I've included these bonus tips here for you today. If you've already chosen a business name, you can still use that as your big picture name, but you'll still want a branding name that helps brand you with your new market and niche. So there are two ways to go when choosing your business name. Here they are, and not necessarily in order of preference. For the first, take a look at who your market is. You're going to want either your niche or your market right there in the title. If you can get a juicy result or benefit that they receive through your coaching, even better. Overall, it needs to sound sexy and be easy to remember. Here are some real-life examples that I've pulled from random various places. Soulful Retreats. Irresistible Writing. Crackerjack Online Marketing. Craniosacral Success. If you use a title with the, T-H-E, it can double as your business name, which is really pretty cool. For example, the VA Success Coach, the Love Connection Coach, the Bucket List Coach, etc. Alternatively, the second way you can go is to use your name and brand with that. The advantages to that are people get to know you by your name, Kelly Green Coaching. It's very desirable to have people recognize your name. The other advantage is if you tweak your branding, which most people do at some point, usually more than once, you won't be stuck with a name that no longer matches that branding exactly. And a lot of people have come up against that problem. So it's something to take into consideration. Domain names. Next, brainstorm ideas for your domain name. Obviously, you're going to start with the name of your business and see if you can find versions of that. But regardless of what you choose, you want to always own your first and last name as a domain name. So be sure and get that if you haven't already. And point that to your main site, even if you use a different main domain name for it. In other words, people will be able to put in your name or the website name that you use, and it will bring them to the same place, your website. And you want to get your name, because if someone else has it and they get it, that's it. It's gone. You can try looking on GoDaddy for phrases from your branding statement or variations of your title, business name, or tagline to see what's available. Then Google it to see if anyone else is using it as a business name. And here's a bonus tip. Don't ever get a .net name. Never, ever, ever .net. Just because you can get your exact business name .net, if someone else has it in .com, everybody is going to go to that other person because it's a knee-jerk reaction. People always put in .com. And particularly if that other person is competition for you, you're going to be sending people to the competition. So don't do that. Not that us coaches were really into competition, but you get what I mean here. Also, don't pay more than $10 a year for a domain name. There are always alternatives that will work just as well. You don't have to spend hundreds of dollars or even thousands on a domain name. And I'll give you one last bonus tip. If you go to webpagedomainnames.com, you can get a basic domain name for only $9 a year. All right. Let's talk about exactly what do you do if you've done everything and you still can't decide on a niche. As you know by now, this was my story. So I've had a lot of opportunity to learn the answer to this question. Between my own experience and in working with my clients, I've come to see that if someone has done everything and still can't find their niche, there are three main challenges they are usually facing. So I'm going to talk about each one of those challenges and what to do about them. For some, the answer is short. For others, it's longer. Here goes. Niche decision challenge number one, getting help. Sometimes it's impossible to see things that are right in front of you because you're stuck in your own perspective. Get another perspective. Ideally, get a professional perspective because it will be easier to choose when you have the confidence of knowing you're working with a professional. Niche decision challenge number two, perfectionism. Does this sound like you? I want it to be the right niche. It has to be perfect. It's too important to mess up. I don't want to get into it and then realize I've made a mistake, that it's not the right niche after all. I can't find the right niche because there's something that just doesn't feel right about all the ones I've considered. And remember, I've done all of this. Patients where perfectionism is desirable. If I'm looking for a brain surgeon or a dentist, I want a perfectionist, right? Don't you? But in marketing, quantity wins out over quality. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you to do a sloppy job or just pick any old thing. You need to be strategic. But you also need to recognize the point at which you simply need to make a choice and move on. You need to be able to say, good enough. Every successful coach I know does this. And believe me, I'm not sitting in my ivory tower looking down from on high. This was certainly part of my challenge. So if you've tried everything and still can't decide on a niche, chances are there's a healthy dose of debilitating perfectionism in there. When you let go of that, you'll be able to make a choice. Niche decision challenge number three. Thinking your level of fulfillment and satisfaction in what you do is completely dependent on the market and niche you choose. Coaching is coaching. Healing is healing. Whatever expert service you provide, you are still gaining the satisfaction of helping others. Even if a market and niche doesn't sing to you immediately, you'll still be doing what you do best and feeling the satisfaction of helping others. Ultimately, it's all the same. No matter who we help or what we do for them, helping our clients grow and move forward into happier, healthier lives is the end result. And we feel the same satisfaction at achieving that end result, whatever the issues are that get us and our clients there. So remember that. If you've been thinking it makes all the difference in the world, think again. That could be what's stopping you from finding your niche. In the end, it doesn't make as much difference as you may think. And of course, once again, this was one of the challenges I needed to shift my perspective on. Now I have a bonus challenge for you. And this is the one that most represents me, all right? Sometimes you need a stepping stone. Sometimes you have to choose a path you know is temporary because it's the only way to find your true path. You can't always see your true path from where you are. Imagine you're standing at a crossroads. You could go to the right or to the left. Both of the roads curve after a short way, so you can't see what's beyond the curves. The only way you're going to find out is to pick a path and go down it. Then, from down that path a ways, you'll be able to see what you couldn't when you were stuck at the crossroads, no matter how hard you tried. That's what happened with me. I wasn't ready for my true path when I was first looking for a niche. I couldn't see it, and the only way for me to be able to step onto it was by taking a path for a while that I knew was temporary, but was right for me at the time. You could use the same analogy for finding your lifelong soulmate. Sometimes the only way to become ready to find your lifelong mate is to have another relationship first that's right for you at the time. And you realize that in retrospect. The worst thing you can do is stay stuck, stay standing there at the crossroads, scratching your head, stressing, obsessing, not knowing which way to go, and not moving forward. Then you'll never get to the place where you're able to find your true path. If you're stuck, getting into motion is the only answer. Just make the best choice you can in the moment and move forward. There are no mistakes. You can't lose. Any path you take is going to be the right path for you. It will either be the ultimate right path, or it will lead you to the ultimate right path. So to summarize, exactly what do you do if you've done everything and you can't decide on a niche? First, you get another perspective. You get help. Then, you let go of perfectionism. You know that whatever you choose will be fulfilling, and you allow yourself to choose something that may be a stepping stone, knowing that by getting into action and moving forward, your ultimate true path will reveal itself when the time is right. It will, I promise. And I would be personally thrilled to work with you and be the one to offer another perspective. So if you still don't have a niche or you want to nail yours down, if I sound like someone you'd like to work with, if you think you're my ideal client, then go to kellydereuter.com/naildownyournicheintensive/ and sign up for a private intensive with me. Joining me today. I've really enjoyed sharing all of this with you, and I hope to be speaking with you soon. Bye now.